When you were added to the staff here in Cleveland, people got a strong understanding about the plan here in Cleveland, that you're going to be a big part of it to take your experience and help us build a roster with young players to go out and become a sustainable winning football team over the course of the years. And I think as we transition now into the regular season, what are some of the roles or what are some of the things that you're doing here with the Cleveland Browns throughout the regular season to help us continue in that winning tradition?
A lot of it's the same. It's really trying to get an understanding of where we are relative to our competition, first in the AFC North. I mean, those are the guys we're going to face six times a year. We really need to know them inside and out. And ultimately, we need to beat those teams. You know, we haven't yet. So we're really focused on them, then focused on the AFC in general, and then obviously the league as a whole. We want to be a top organization in the league. But we have to measure ourselves against those guys, and we have to understand how best to do that, how best to measure ourselves. So we're coming up with, you know, a lot of different ways of looking at the same issue and saying, okay, how do we stack up in all these different areas versus all these other teams on a week-to-week basis? And that's what we'll be doing sort of through the course of the fall. And then also trying to make adjustments as we go. You know, if we feel like we're lagging in a particular area, okay, what can we do even in season to make an adjustment and help ourselves?
What was it like for you to be at your first NFL, you know, regular season game, obviously in this capacity, working for a team? I know we talked about it briefly on the sideline beforehand, but as you kind of went through the whole thing, the experience, what was that like for you?
It was probably good that I had a preseason also, you know, to give me a chance to get used to it. Green Bay was probably even more not overwhelming, but a little bit more impactful on me, just because, wow, this is actually happening. I'm here. I've decided to do this. Philadelphia, I think we were ready to go. You know, I was anxious to get playing. I was anxious to see our ones play an entire game, which they hadn't during the preseason, and really interested to see how a lot of our young players stepped up and played when it really mattered. You know, and had to play against the other team's top players and do it for four quarters. And to be honest with you, I think there were a lot of really bright spots during the course of that game. Certainly not pleased with the outcome at the end of the day, but a lot of individual performances that I think gave a lot of reason for optimism, you know, for us.
Who were some of the people that you thought gave those performances?
Oh, I think, you know, guys like Carl Nassib, you know, Joe Schober played really well. Derek Kindred did some nice things. I mean, there were a lot of guys that I think that we were excited about.
Is the one word when Sashi Brown, you know, got promoted to his current position, and of course you were added soon thereafter, what and Hugh Jackson soon thereafter as well, was collaboration. Just walk the dog pound into the processes in place to collaborate with the head coach and with Sashi Brown to continue to take the steps towards putting a quality product on the field each and every Sunday.
Sure, and we talk every day, and it's funny. I mean, you know, all of our offices are really close together, and while we have a lot of set meetings, you know, through the course of a week, you know, yesterday was probably a perfect example. There was a time we were in Sashi's office later in the day. We ended up in mine later last night. I was in Hughes. You know, it just sort of happens, you know, organically. But we're constantly talking to one another and about all sorts of different things. I mean, sometimes it's about a particular roster move or something we might be doing. Other times it might be something that's much more 30,000 feet. Sometimes it's about you know, what we're doing in terms of staffing and coaching. So we talk about everything every day, and I think it's been great so far. Fortunately for me, they know that I just have to learn, and I'm constantly asking questions. They're probably tired of all my questions by now, but it does continue the dialogue, you know, because they have to explain things to me. But I think it's certainly been really good for me, but I think it's been good for all of us.
How unique was it when you set the 53-man roster? Because in baseball, you go to spring training with all these people, and if they don't make the team, they're still in your organization. They just go to AAA or AA, but they're still yours, and you have time to develop them and be with them. But here it is literally, we have 53 now, and everybody that we say is not on that 53, they're out in the world. Now, some may be able to come back, 10 ultimately on the practice squad, but that's it.
Yeah, that may be the biggest change for me, is that, you know, we spend a lot of time and energy in baseball developing the total person. You know, a lot of times we'll draft a player, he might only be 18 years old, or even if we sign a player internationally, he might be 16 years old. And you invest 5-6 years in that person and that player to try to make him a major leaguer. Here you have about 5 months, you know, from the draft until the start of the season. That said, I think we want to take the same tact here in player development. We want to do everything we can to invest in both the person and the player. I think we know that while their careers in football relative to the rest of their lives are going to be short, clearly their even their careers at the Browns relative to the rest of their lives are going to be short. We want this to be a really important and formative experience in their lives, whether they're here for 3 months or whether they're here for 3 years or 13 years. We want them to be able to look back and say, hey, that was not only was that great to be a part of, but it really made a difference in my life. And that's what we're trying to do here. So it's hard to say goodbye to those guys, you know, at the end of August when you're cutting down. But you are hoping during the course of that time that they really benefited, you know, from being here, and that it'll make a difference in their lives.
Looks like in baseball, right, you go through the draft, and I remember, I think you said something like 30-something rounds, and it's...
Yeah, 40 rounds.
40
yeah.
rounds, fast and furious. 5 months from there, unless somebody does something egregious, they're all in your organization. And in most NFL organizations, they draft 7.
Right.
And maybe 5 will be there, you know, 5 months later. And that's, I'm sure, just got to be... So it's just strange, kind of.
It is. It is a different mentality. I also think it creates, you know, a certain amount of anxiety in the locker room, too, you know, which didn't necessarily exist in baseball. There are guys who wanted to make that major league team, but... you know, ultimately got pushed back to AAA and they were disappointed, but they might still get called up the next day. You
right.
know, here it's, again, it's very different. But we want to make sure that we're the type of organization that guys want to come to, that guys understand that even if they don't make the team or don't reach their goals, that they really got something out of being here. And I think we're well on track to do that.
Sure. And I know rules are rules, but the new collective bargaining agreement, and I know that you're obviously new to football as well. Do you feel that like really shrinks down and creates the urgency in your ability and your staff to evaluate these young players on who's deserving to make that 53-man roster and who is much more of a developmental guy or a guy who doesn't quite fit the parameters of what it is to be a Cleveland Brown?
Well, you know, I think the most challenging part is that, you know, all we really have to evaluate them on is practice tape, you know, against our own players, and then a handful of preseason games.
Right.
And in those games, I think everyone would say that they're not necessarily – mirror images of a regular season
right.
game, right? And guys may only get 10 snaps or 15 snaps. You know, one of the things we were always really careful about in baseball was not evaluating players in spring training for the same reason, that it's not really the same as playing in the regular season. And yet here, that's all we have,
right,
you know,
yeah.
to evaluate those guys. So we definitely have to rely strongly on their college tape. You know, we've seen them at in that level of competition and that spirit of competition over the course of probably a couple years. Really rely heavily on our personnel people, you know, for that. And then while the time they're with us, it's as important for us to evaluate the person as it is, you know, the player.
Sure.
And again, I think we really try to get the player right with our personnel staff. But then while they're here, it's, hey, does this guy have the makeup to be what we believe would be a championship player for the Cleveland Browns? We think there's a difference. There are NFL players, there are championship players. You know, NFL players are guys who have the physical ability to compete at this level, which is pretty rare.
Right.
You know, that's still great. Championship players are the guys who not only have that ability, but have, you know, the work ethic, the determination, the drive, being a great teammate, all those intangibles that are really important that sort of separate you at the highest level. And we're probably evaluating those things during training camp as strongly as we're evaluating what they're doing on the field.
One thing I think a lot of people have questions about relating just to the overall strategy, because it's clear you guys have a plan and the impact was seen in the draft, the way you maneuver around the draft and now set yourself up for 17 and 18 with all the extra assets that you guys have acquired. Is that something that is just the theory period as it relates to the draft and acquiring assets, or do you think that, you know, that's because of where the team is now, and then as the team transitions into being more of a playoff team, does that change the way you approach the draft in terms of not maybe moving down, staying and taking players, or trying to move up at times? Is it something that's fluid, or is it do you have a philosophy in general about the draft and those assets?
Sure. No, that's a great question. I think, you know, this past April was a moment in time, you know, and that's the way we looked at it. This was the right strategy for right now for us. You know, if we were running some other team, we wouldn't necessarily do the same thing. But right now for us, this was the right thing to do. You know, we hope that we're in a position, you know, in a year or even more. There's no way that even if we acquired 12, 13 picks, we don't have room for 12 or 13 players on our team. You know, this year we had a lot of opportunity. And so picking 14 guys made sense. We had room for all those guys to potentially make the team. You know, next year we have a handful of picks. There's going to be a lot less opportunity next year. than there was this year. We're hoping there's very little opportunity, you know, going forward after that. So we won't be dogmatic about it. I think we'll take it on a year-to-year basis. There will be certain instances that, yes, we'll absolutely trade up. There were times in this year's draft where we looked to trade up and we tried to and ultimately couldn't come to a deal, you know, but we felt like there was an opportunity there and we tried to seize it. And there were a lot of times where we were or had opportunities to trade down more and we didn't, you know, so you don't end up seeing all those transactions that never happened. But I think our strategy will change a little bit from year to year and try to be as appropriate and timely as possible.
Where does getting a fourth round pick for a punter rank in your all time trades?
I don't know. Andy's a very good punter.
Yeah,
there's no doubt, and he made the team better. So that part of it wasn't easy, and especially knowing that it was the week before the regular season, we felt great sympathy for Chris Tabor, our special teams coach, you know, if this is what we were going to do. But look, it was an opportunity for us to get better in the long run. And, you know, we also thought there was going to be a veteran or two out there to be available. Fortunately, we got Britton, you know, and we think he's going to do a great job for us. And then we also got a fourth-round pick. You know, because of my lack of experience in the league, I didn't know necessarily what the standard was for punters in the league. And someone did tell me it was the last time someone – traded, I think, a fourth-round pick or higher for a punter was
95.
Okay, yeah. So I know there aren't
the
a lot.
Browns had traded a seventh-round pick for the very same Andy Lee just prior to this.
Okay, well, but look, I think you know there are teams that have teams are in different situations,
absolutely.
Right? And they have different needs, and I think in this particular situation, it probably works out well for both teams. I mean, look, Carolina's a. They're Super Bowl caliber team.
And they lost Mike Seifers, and so there's an urgency about them
right.
to acquire
absolutely.
A Pro Bowl level punter.
And unlike us, you know, their team is in a situation where they don't have room for seven draft picks to make their team.
Right.
I mean, they're so loaded, they're so talented. So, you know, at the end of the day, it makes sense for both organizations. And, look, we hope to be on the other end of that, you know, in a couple years from now. That's what we should aspire to.
That's the goal. One thing I wanted to ask, and I know you've been here, you know, somewhat limited, but really why we're here today is supporting education in Northeast Ohio and the youth education, make sure everybody has access to that superior quality of education, and it's important to the owners, the Haslams. In your experience, you know, what is the commitment to the community that you see here, and why does it matter to you, and why do you think it matters so much to the Haslams?
Tremendously important. I think regardless of the organization you're in, being sort of deeply involved in the community is a big part of our roles. You know, these jobs, while important to us and we got to win games, they're really about community pride. And one of the things that made me so excited about coming here to the Browns was a chance to come back to Cleveland. I always told people from my time at the Indians back in the 90s, when I ended up moving on, was that Cleveland was the most prideful place I had ever been. And it was what made me excited about potentially coming back. So I think the people here have a tremendous amount of pride being Clevelanders. And I think the Haslams completely understand that and want to be a part of that and want to contribute to that as much as possible. And I think the rest of the organization has followed suit and wants the same.
Absolutely. And so right now the coach's chalk talk looks like $1,700. That's up in 15 minutes. He's got to go a little higher to get above Depot. You might have some bragging rights back there with Hugh and Andrew Berry and Sashi Brown. But $1,700, the way to bid on that, it's a chalk talk for 10 people watching tape with Coach Jackson. I'm sure you've gotten to do that in your
I would say, I would
What's
bid,
it like?
I would bid on that if I didn't have the access I do now. Oh, it's such an education every time. And first of all, not only is he incredibly knowledgeable, but just his passion and his enthusiasm, you know, while he's breaking stuff down, it's tremendous. I mean, I think it's invaluable every time I get a chance to do it.
Is that a big difference from football to baseball? And that I know that you guys, I'm sure, watch tape, as it were, in baseball, but the numbers, you, I think, tell a better story perhaps than here, and that's something you're trying to figure out. Has been watching the tape been something that it's just been kind of a whole new world to you?
It is different. I've gotten into the routine now of doing it, you know, each and every week and trying to get a better understanding of what's happening on every play. I mean, baseball, it's a little bit easier to watch live and not have to replay it. You
right.
know, you saw what
so,
happened.
Right,
I mean,
sure.
Sometimes, even as you're watching a game live, you can say, oh, man, that was a slider down and away that he, he was able to hit the right field or whatever.
Not 11, 22 guys.
Exactly. But on an NFL play, it's harder to do that, and sometimes you have to go back and look. But again, you know, the nuance that Hugh has and that he understands and that he can then share with people is awesome. That one will be great.
Where do you feel your tape watching acumen is now compared to when you first came in?
Well, that's a low bar. So it's gone up significantly, but I would say it's probably still, on a scale of 1 to 10, it's very low compared to everyone else in the building. But I'm working on it.
I know you've watched a lot. I'd like to watch a lot. The one thing I want at some point, because I find when you sit in a dark room, it's totally silent. Like, they need to find, like, tape soundtracks. I don't know what it is. I know you can pick your own music to watch while you're watching it, but I like to be focused. And I wish there was something that they could, a sound enhancement to the tape watching experience.
I like, it's kind of like walk-up music.
Yeah,
right? Like,
exactly.
Maybe when we know someone made the play, because
yeah,
we already
cue it.
Then, yeah, we cue that person's music. I like it.
There we go. Yeah. We're on something. Paul, thanks so much for the time, for all you do supporting, obviously, this organization, getting them to where everybody in this community wants, and then also for the work you're doing today with the Foundation Radiothon and supporting the community.
Sounds great. Thanks so much.
All right.